Kaya Biz.
There's been a lot that's been unfolding in South Africa's macroeconomic landscape, and these are all themes that do influence the lay of the landscape when it comes to business confidence, ongoing investment, and our livelihoods as South Africans who choose to be economically productive. To help us reflect on expectations ahead of the MPC meeting this Thursday, commentary on the World Bank loan that we recently received, and even share some thoughts as to how South Africa's economy can really reignite some form of a recovery in light of the pandemic, we join on the line by senior economist at BNP Paribas South Africa, Jeff Schultz. Jeff, thank you so much for joining us and welcome to the show.
Good evening, Gubilesi. Thanks very much for having me.
Jeff, thank you for joining us. And I guess first things first, maybe let's reflect on the current economic environment in South Africa, which appears to be overwhelmed by what's happening internationally, as well as some of the local economic data that we've recently received, such as the inflation data.
Yes, absolutely. Look, I mean, I think the economy is poised to continue to grow this year, but we are saying that it's likely to grow at a much slower pace than what we saw last year. Last year, we had a real positive mix of factors, very high levels of commodity prices, a rebounding global economic environment post-COVID as economies started to open up. And South Africa really benefited from that. It benefited from a China growing nearly 9% last year. It benefited from a U.S. economy growing around 7%. Mm-hmm. And what we're saying this year is that the headwinds to growth in South Africa look to be getting much, much greater. So now that the, I suppose, COVID pandemic bounce has happened, it really now comes down to what happens in the global economy with regards to growth, and we're anticipating some level of a slowdown in countries like China, but also what we do on the ground here domestically. And unfortunately, with things like electricity supply cuts, load shedding, structural economic reform that seems to be almost moving at a glacial pace, we are worried that the economy is likely to slow down quite dramatically this year in terms of its growth recovery. We are only penciling in growth of just 1.3% this year from an estimated 5.2% last year.
Mm. I want us to get back to that in just a moment, just to really reflect on how best it is that National Treasury can try to spur some kind of economic growth. But before we get there, it also does speak to the kind of monetary policy stance that has to be adopted in South Africa. And you look at all the media reports, I think it's quite fair to say that there's great expectation and anticipation that the SARB will actually increase interest rates this coming Thursday. What's your stance and, I guess, BNP Paribas' outlook on the MPC meeting this Thursday?
Yeah, so unfortunately, there's no easy decision here. We are anticipating a 25 basis point rate increase by the Central Bank of South Africa, really on the basis that, one, inflation in the country is picking up momentum, and South Africa, as an inflation-targeting central bank, needs to ensure that inflation and inflation expectations remain well-behaved going forward. The second point, really, and this is probably the most important point, is what we're seeing globally right now, is an expectation of higher interest rates, particularly out of the U.S. Federal Reserve, mm-hmm. where it's widely anticipated that the U.S. Fed is going to raise interest rates by at least 100 basis points this year.
Which is quite aggressive, right?
It is, but it's aggressive in the sense that it's almost a required, a necessary evil because of the high levels of inflation that that economy is currently facing. I mean, the U.S. inflation trajectory right now is actually even higher than South Africa's. I can't even remember the last time that that was the case. And so, in that type of environment, the U.S. Fed also needs to think about containing inflation further down the line. And as a result, we believe that it probably does need to act.
Certainly does need to act, and we're hearing more of that hawkish stance. Coming back to the SARB very briefly, have you considered how many interest rate hikes we could anticipate this year? And I guess the impact on the livelihoods and pockets of South Africans.
Yeah, so again, not great news here. We're anticipating around 125 basis points worth of rate increases this year. We're at 25 basis points at every single meeting for at least the first five meetings of this year. So that is going to have an impact on consumer pockets. It is going to have an impact on the indebted consumer. But in light of the current global economic situation that I've described, in light of the higher inflation trajectory, this unfortunately again is a necessary evil that the central bank probably needs to take in order to protect things like the currency and capital inflows into our market. And in the absence of them doing that, the outlook could actually be far worse.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough one. Almost takes us back to levels that we saw pre-pandemic, if I'm not mistaken, in 2020, where they aggressively increased interest rates. You can correct me if I'm wrong there, Jeff.
Actually, it puts us still very well below where we were pre-COVID. Okay. So it'll be about 150 basis points below where we were pre-COVID. So the Reserve Bank is still likely to justify rate increases in that type of environment to say, look, we have to normalize some interest rates that we've cut, but we are still cognizant of the pressures that the economy, that the consumer is facing. And I think that's really the balance that they've got to strike this year.
Jeff, if we do shift our attention to that World Bank loan, a lot of criticism as there is uncertainty as to what this money will be used for, what the terms and conditions are, and of course how this might link into the ongoing financial support that South Africa does need from a fiscal point of view.
Yeah, look, I think the World Bank loan approval, it was a base case view about that the Treasury probably would secure this loan. It's been negotiated for the past 18 months. The positive side of it really is that, one, there's no significant conditionality that's been attached to it. It's a conditional financing arrangement. And in fact, the World Bank has given us this 11.4 billion rand or $750 million, basically as an endorsement of some of the structural economic reforms that have been pushed through, and things like the self-generation limits being raised to 100 megawatts in the energy sector, and how we've handled the COVID pandemic. But I think critically, these loans that are coming from the World Bank and other multilateral institutions like the IMF, like what we saw in 2020, is that they are concessional financing. So it means that the interest rate that we're paying on that debt is much, much lower than what we would under normal circumstances. And that is really critical in a country like South Africa, where, you know, we've got debt service costs, or the cost of us actually just servicing, not even paying back the capital on our debt. That's growing at 13% right now, year on year. If we can obtain funding or financing at 3 or 4%, that makes a lot of economic sense. And I think that's exactly why the National Treasury has adopted or at least gone along the path of trying to obtain as much concessional financing as it can to bring down the debt service cost burden.
So quite clear then. I'm assuming we will hear further details as to how this funding will be allocated. I'm just keen to get your thoughts, Jeff, if South Africa might actually require additional financial support measures from a fiscal point of view in order to really spur the economy into a better position of economic growth.
Look, I mean, I think the Treasury every year has to issue a certain amount of debt through our bond markets and through international bond markets in order to fund ourselves, because we don't have enough money. We're not bringing enough revenue on our own to fund our expenditures, unfortunately. And that's why we run a budget deficit in the country. So, you know, and how this World Bank loan is going to be used, Treasury say it's going to be used to meet our foreign currency commitments or foreign obligations, paying back foreign loans, essentially. But, you know, what all of these loans are likely to do is also help facilitate a very severe socio-economic problem that the country has. And that's why we think that in March this year, when the current COVID social relief of distress grant is supposed to be coming to expiry, we think that that's likely to be extended by at least another 12 months. I don't think the World Bank loan specifically means that we can do that, but I do think that that was the plan all along.
Is that sustainable, though? Because it has raised a lot of questions as to whether or not South Africa should be reallocating these funds elsewhere.
Well, we have to be very careful about, what funds we, first of all, how much we borrow. That's critical, because debt to GDP levels continue to rise. We've got much higher debt to GDP levels than other comparable emerging markets with comparable demographics and GDP. And so we need to be very careful about that, because we don't want to go down a further credit ratings downgrade road. We need to be spending money in the right sort of areas. I would argue, though, that, you know, some form of additional social relief in the current environment probably is warranted. You know, we've got a youth unemployment rate of 66.5%. If you include, if you look at the expanded unemployment rate definition, so include discouraged job seekers, we've got an unemployment rate of 46.6%. I mean, these are numbers that you just don't see anywhere else in the world. So there is, I think there's certainly a case to be made for additional social support for the time being, but maybe temporary support, because we do already have a very extensive social grant system. But what we need to also be doing at the same time is ensuring that we get structural reforms right, we get policy implementation right, we get the economy growing again, because ultimately that's going to generate types of revenue which means that we don't have to borrow as much, and as a result our debt levels will eventually start to come down. And that's really what needs to be done here.
I'm glad you comment on the structural reforms, Jeff, because a few months ago we recall how many of the central banks, but rather the ratings agencies were very clear and critical that South Africa does need to adopt more of these structural reforms. What's the likelihood that we could potentially face another downgrade? Because there was a time when our economy really struggled and saw a significant downgrade or re-rating from all the major ratings agencies.
Look, we don't think that additional credit ratings downgrades are imminent for South Africa, so that's good news. I think what we've managed to do during the COVID crisis, as well as in last year, was, you know, we've benefited from very strong commodity prices, revenues have been very strong, and we haven't just spent that revenue windfall. We've put it aside. We're using it in the right areas. We're bringing down how much we're issuing in terms of bonds, and that's ultimately helping lower our debt burden further down the line. But a lot more needs to be done if we are going to avoid further credit ratings downgrades in 2 or 3 years' time. And I think that's really the critical aspect of it. We don't foresee Fitch or Moody's or S&P downgrading anytime soon. But if we don't get structural reform right, if we don't get the economy growing again, debt levels are going to continue to rise. And there's a point at which a credit rating agency looks at that and says, well, where's the end game here? And if there is no end game, then we will unfortunately face further downgrades.
Jeff, I guess to leave it on a consumer note and maybe business sentiment note, what does this bleak economic outlook, I guess a slowdown in our GDP growth, you mentioned 1.3% earlier, all these are ongoing levers of financial support that have come through, and I guess this muted environment of business confidence mean for South African consumers, as well as our earning potential perhaps?
Look, I think it means we need to tighten our belts this year further. And really, I think as society, civil society, you know, we need to put pressure on the government to really push ahead with the promised structural economic reforms in electricity, in telecommunications, spectrum allocation, in our ports and rail infrastructure, in the way state-owned companies are being run, in clamping down on corruption, etc. So I think that's really what us as civil society need to be moving towards, because the only way that we're going to be able to enjoy higher levels of financial prosperity from a consumption, from a consumer perspective, and from a country perspective, is if we get the economy growing. And so it's going to be another tough year. Structural reforms don't happen overnight. And hopefully we're going to hear more on the 10th of February at the President's State of the Nation address on what is the updated plan on how to push ahead more vigorously with structural reforms. But unfortunately, it means that, you know, there's still going to be some time before we see light at the end of the tunnel. And I think we're still very much in the middle of the tunnel right now. So, as I say, tighten your belts.
Yeah, tighten our belts. And hopefully that light will be light from Eskom. On a lighter note.
Let's hope so.
Indeed. Thank you so much, Jeff. Really appreciate the perspective you've shared with us here today, and a very honest depiction of the outlook regarding South Africa's economic performance for the year ahead. 1.3% GDP growth anticipated for this year by BNP Paribas South Africa, which really sets the tone in terms of us really having to implement the structural reform measures, strict considerations that will be shared by the finance minister and, of course, the president in the upcoming State of the Nation address. Thank you again to my guest, Jeff Schoots. He's a senior economist at BNP Paribas, South Africa. It's 18 minutes to go before 7 o'clock.
Biz with Gugule Tumfuphi, Monday to Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m. on Kaya 959.
On the street, on the air.